Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Hump Day!
Yeah.
Hump Day!
Oh, yeah.
I feel like... Hump Day! You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm starting to feel like that's a little bit like the gym for you, that you just like, you kind of just let it all out.
That's right.
And that's your like,
try to let it go.
Release. Get pumped up for the show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Welcome.
Day.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss.
Yeah.
Dustin the Great and Country helping us out. It just makes it, it's like, doesn't that just make everybody's Wednesday better? I feel like it does. It feels like it's...
I feel better.
It almost feels like it's Friday now.
It does.
It does, but it's not, so don't be confused. It's Wednesday. It is hump day, but we have a great show. We got a great show for you guys tonight. Lots of things to give away. Eddie Marskowski was going to join us this evening, but as it turns out, he's still in Texas smashing tournaments.
He's probably at another final table. That's what Eddie does.
I think he might be. So he's going to join us next week as he comes home from Texas. Hopefully he doesn't get stuck with, unprecedented weather or anything else that might be flowing his way.
Who knows?
Especially coming out of Texas. So we're wishing him all the well. We know that he has made two final tables, one an event, and he is still just trucking right through. So again, he'll join us next week and talk to us a little bit about what he's done, how he did it, and where he plans to go in the future from those tournaments that he's played. So wishing you all of the luck out there. So last week we had Steve Bly on the show, who is founder, owner. First of all, like, if you didn't hear last week's show, what an incredible guest he was. Like, he's
amazing.
Really interesting. Yeah. He's very fascinating. It's really cool. Like, he's the man that created a patent for the software to train people how to play poker, like basically poker training software, I guess.
And a lot of people use the software, apparently.
A lot of people use the software. So he's really fascinating. He's a Jacksonville native, which makes him even more fascinating to us because he's, our homie.
Right.
So he was on the show last week. If you missed it, you can go to bestbetjacks.com. Click on the radio show tab, and then you can pull up the archive file. And the guy's pretty interesting, and he's done a lot of stuff.
And, a couple quick things of note. The site that he operates, Advanced Poker Training, and I think the other one is Advanced Omaha Training.
Yes.
Are very good. They're very simple and easy to use. And he said he'll give anybody a 25% discount if they use the bonus code BESTBET. All one word. I think it was all capitals. I don't think that matters. But so if you're interested, you can go check, surf around the free aspects of that site also. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. I like it. It's very user-friendly and easy to use also, which is good.
And this is a time when so many people have been really trying to hone or tap into studying poker in terms of not just playing or playing completely aside, but using this downtime, if they don't have a place to play poker, to really kind of study and learn about maybe things that are changing or things that they struggled with in their game before. So definitely take advantage of these sites. These training sites are available to you now because it is definitely going to heighten your game when you jump back in the ring.
That's right.
Know that Steve was very gracious and he gave us some, what were they, $250 vouchers?
Something like that. Approximately, it's a year subscription of some sort.
Okay, so your subscription to his site, which I believe is valued around $250 or $300. And as it turns out, there's an option for you to win one.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm hosting a poker charity event, which is online. It's tomorrow evening. It starts at 7 o'clock p.m. So I'm going to give it a nice shameless quick plug here. All of the proceeds go to the Jacksonville Children's Chorus. It's a wonderful organization here in Jacksonville. It is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And this money that is raised is used 100% specifically for scholarship, for financial-based needs. So any child in the Jacksonville area that might be interested in singing or participating in some form of the arts, theatrical, whatever that might be with the Jacksonville Children's Chorus. This is an opportunity to raise money and support children that are looking to do that. So that's one of the prizes that you can win. There's lots of bounties. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I feel like you just need to check it out. So you can go to River City Dancing with the Stars, rivercitydwts.com. Click on contestants, scroll down, find your favorite gal here, Allie McDeal. Click on poker tournament and register. Again, that tournament will be tomorrow at 7 o'clock p.m. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's some really spectacular bounties. I feel like now that
there's some amazing bounties.
Now that we're so close, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag.
Ridiculous list of bounties.
All right, so let's go through
some of these bounties. Yeah, let's at least some of the cats.
Let's just go through some of them. Okay, so in the poker world, we have the First Lady of Poker, Linda Johnson. Ooh. World Poker Hall of Fame. We have Jan Fisher, the Second Lady of Poker, is kind of what I wanted to call her because she sort of is. Like, she's sure. The first. They kind of need to split it. They should be like half and half. But she's also a bounty. Matt Savage, who we all know is with the World Poker Tour. Who else is in there? Blake Boone, who is Minnesota Poker Hall of Fame. By his own right, just a tremendous poker player. I'm sure he'll be happy to chat with you guys about what you're doing wrong at the table and ways that you could better combat busting him. Let's see, who else is on there? Darren Daly, who runs the Jacksonville Children's Chorus, myself, my dance partner, Brian Mercado, and he doesn't know anything about poker, so he's an easy target. And then...
You know who else is a good poker player, local player?
Tell me.
Andy Kaufman.
Guess who? And he happens to be the owner of the Iceman. He owns man is creating an entire.
And he loves it. He loves to come in and play poker also. He has created an entire sports
economy here in Jacksonville, Savannah, Tampa. The man is spectacular. So he is also going to be a bounty. Paul Petralia. WPT. Josh Scobie. He's going to be a bounty as well. All of these guys have prizes on them. There's a few more that you may or may not have heard of.
Scobie's a player, too. He's a player. He's a tough player.
He's an excellent player. Well, here's what he said to me. So Scobie says, hey, Allie, he goes, if I have to log in late, do you think Melissa could play for me for a while? And I was like, absolutely.
Sure.
I said, I love that. He goes, she's actually a pretty good player. I said, she should play by herself then. She might knock you out.
That's right. You won't play.
So I was like, my money is on her. And then, of course, we have a few other bounties. Michael Kelly is going to be in there. If you don't know who he is, he stars in House of Cards. Mark Menchaca, who stars in Ozark, as well as, I mean, these guys are in many of things. Tom Everett Scott, who will also be in there. He is another actor, father on Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and he's the Tom Hanks lookalike. He's the guy that, like, is literally in every single film you've ever seen.
he's
that guy. And then we have... I feel like I might have forgot somebody. Forget anybody? There's a couple surprise bounties in there.
Surprise bounties.
I shall not reveal a name, but there may or may not be a bounty from Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Sick.
There's your spoiler. That's your hanger. I'm not going to tell you who it is. If you want to know who it is, you're going to have to sign up and play. Again, you can just go to RiverCityDWTSDancingWithTheStars.com. Go to contestants, click on Allie, register for my poker tournament, and you'll be there tomorrow. So there's going to be a Zoom link, so you'll be able to chat with everybody, visit with them, see them. I know Dustin's going to throw it up there in the chat box if you're watching on Twitch or Facebook. Yep. So that's an easy way to enter as well. And again, remember, all the money is for a great cause. 100% of it goes to the Jacksonville Children's Chorus.
It's for the kids.
Play poker for the kids.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, so as we close in, you know, this is something that has come up that is one of those pieces that's changed or shifted in the poker world, and we got to figure out what that looks like. So ESPN has now announced that they are going to be airing the heads-up match of the WSOP main event, right? A lot of stuff about this has changed. A lot of things are different from what it used to look like with the World Series of Poker. We're going to talk about that. Also, I found an article that was written in 2019, and it's titled, What Your Poker Strategy Should Look Like in 2021.
I can't wait to hear it. This is an amazing article.
It's really cool.
It's a brilliant article.
I just accidentally stumbled upon it, and I read it, and I thought, well, this is really relevant, and it's pretty cool. So we have that to talk about. Also, we have lots of merchandise. Lots of new merchandise over at Best Bet with the new branding coming through. Your guys' logo is beautiful. I see you have some new Best Bet Live merchandise.
Dustin's clearly rocking here in the station.
So there's jackets, there's hoodies, there's hats, but there's lots of new things, new colors and fun and exciting stuff. So we have some of that to give away to you all as well. So stay tuned with us throughout the show. All right, boys, you guys ready to talk some poker when we come back?
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL at 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country helping us out tonight. All right, if you're just joining us, we've been talking about poker. We've been talking about the World Series of Poker, in fact. And their press release came out today that the 2020 WSOP broadcast of the main event will take place this Sunday, February 28th. So this is the first ever heads-up championship and that combines international and domestic, right? So it's two separate tournaments inside of one that have joined together for a title. So if you're not certain how the WSOP World Series of Poker kind of worked this year, traditionally in the past, it's always played in Las Vegas. It's been at the Rio the last, 15, 20 years. It's a $10,000 buy-in. They play down to the final nine. Sometimes that's suspended till November. Recently, there's been all these adjustments, right? But the final table has always been televised with commentators and on TV. And since, I don't know when that started, but like it's been a long time, right? It's been a while.
We've been doing it live for a while.
Like 15 years?
No, not that long.
15?
No, I mean, I would think that live started the first November 9, probably is when they wanted to do it live. So they would wait and come back for the November 9, and they would show it all live. But they were prepared to do it live. That's part of the reason they took so much time off. I don't think they – maybe it was before that. I don't know.
I feel like Dustin can find out when the first live WSOP aired. I feel like he can check that out for us. But
because it used to be, you're right. They used to film it,
right,
and then show it later,
right. So everything was done in post production because they didn't have access to whole card cams and all of the other shebang that allows you to really view it live now. And then there was a period of time where it was live, but you couldn't see their cards. And then we transitioned to whole cards. But now, this year, the tournament is over. We already know who the winner is. It's played out.
But I'm not telling you.
But you're not going to tell, and I'm not going to tell. And if you don't know, then you're going to have to watch on Sunday to find out.
But, you know, I guess you could have watched all the live updates if you really wanted to, but we don't know what happened. Right? We don't know how they played, what they played, what their cards were. So it will be nice to be able to see the heads-up match and actually see their whole cards this time.
Well, and you also have commentary, right? So you have commentary from
post-production commentary. I believe.
Post-production commentary with Jamie Kerstetter and
Lon McCarron.
Thank you, Lon McCarron, who is like known as the voice of poker, right? Like,
well, he's been commentating at the World Series of Poker for I don't know how long.
Yeah, for a long time, but he's also done a lot of commentary for many sporting events, like tons and tons of sporting events. So this is kind of his thing, right? And so you have these two incredible, and Jamie Kerstetter is a pro poker player who has done many, many commentary pieces, whether it be through WSOP or WPT and the likes of any other major poker event. But it's interesting to see that they're putting all of this production time, energy, and money, ESPN, to actually create this when it's already happened, it's over, people know what happened.
A heads up match. There's only two people, right?
Right. Again, it's only a heads up match. And they're playing for the $1 million that ESPN and
WSOP.
And I don't think it was the Rio or somebody, maybe Caesars or whatever, put up. So that's that $1 million that came from those entities that these guys are now battling out. So again, you had two online events. They started online. So we had the online domestic event, which was here within the United States. And then they got down to the final. Did they play down to nine? I don't remember now.
Yes, they played down to nine and then went to the Rio
right.
in Vegas.
And that, there was some question as to whether it was that was going to be problematic because they were only allowed to play six-handed or something at that time.
Yeah, and somehow they got around that, but somebody did test positive for COVID the day before and was unable to play.
Right, so we have that piece, right? And then we had the international piece where people played online and then they had to meet in...
King's Casino.
There we go, King's Casino. And then they they played down to the winner. Now, though the winner from international...
One person didn't go there either because they... For travel restrictions from China.
Right. So...
Or they didn't feel comfortable traveling, one of the two. So each place lost a person due to the pandemic, which is unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. I feel like, you know, you kind of expect that to happen. And I'll be honest with you. I think it's pretty impressive that they only lost two.
Yeah. During the current situation and the circumstances, I think that's impressive, yes.
Especially when you're including mass amounts of travel involved in there. Like, I feel like everybody did a pretty good job with that. But this is the 19th consecutive year. ESPN will be exclusively broadcasting the WSOP main event. So for 19 years, they've been broadcasting. Now, how long it's been post-production versus live,
right,
I think we can probably figure that out. But this is the first time that there's ever been just a heads-up championship aired for this type of a title. And there was a lot of conversation as to whether or not the WSOP title this year was going to be prestigious or worth being a WSOP title, right? Because... Is it like, can you play the online event and then claim that, make that your claim to fame? And there was a lot of talk about that, right? Because playing live is very different than playing online. And if you're not actually in the throes of the Rio and the series in the summer, is that coveted win and bracelet or trophy, does it have as much value? And I think it's like, I feel like it's kind of launched into a separate category here.
I agree. Now, it still has a lot of value. I mean, first place for the main event, if I got this correctly, this was main event world champions. It's not telling me if it was here or... Right. First place is still over $1 million.
Yes.
Plus... They got $1 million.
More than four players made over $1 million or more, which does not happen if you're playing just the traditional main event at the Rio. The top four places do not all pay over $1 million, do they?
Yeah. The final table gets
I'm sorry.
Of
the main event. Yep, you're right.
But to decide if it still have value as a World Series of Poker main event title? Yes. Is it with maybe an asterisk or something different. But that difference is that, you know, you only made $1.5 million instead of $8 million. But you still beat a large amount of people, 674 in Europe and I think 705 in the United States. And then for the gentleman who won, he picks up an extra million.
Right, but it's also hybrid, right? So like
it's hybrid, yeah. Right, you play online.
I mean, there's a pretty big difference. If you were to throw people into a tournament that if you were to take all of your traditional WSOP World Series of Poker $10,000 buy-in main event players from the Rio and put them in an online format, the odds would drastically change as to who was a favorite. Right.
Right. And we talked about that with people like Tony Dunst, who's a phenomenal online player, came up online and is a great live game player. So somebody like him, he has, I believe, a very big advantage in a format like this, where somebody who's just a traditional cash game player, you know, has a very big disadvantage because they're not going to make it to the final table. Mm-hmm. But somebody who's just an online player, they're going to make it to the final table, and then all of a sudden, now what?
Yeah. You
know, the pace is different. The action's different. The players act different, play different. You know, not to say that they're not a good poker player. They're still going to be a great poker player. But
right. But your home court advantage changes a little bit.
Exactly.
And even when you're playing with those same people behind a screen, to your point, you step in front of them regardless. Your play is going to change, and their play is likely to change.
Absolutely.
just because there are so many other variables. But so here's some interesting facts about the WSOP. It's the largest, richest, most prestigious gaming event in the world, obviously. They have awarded more than $3.29 billion with a B in prize money.
Wow.
$3.29 billion.
That's a lot of billions.
The WSOP is the longest running poker tournament in the world, dating back to 1970. In 2019, they attracted a record-breaking number of 187,298 entrants from 118 different countries. That was the ceiling at the WSOP. I mean, that was like the biggest number. I remember
that had to have been Jamie Gold year there.
2019?
Doesn't sound like Jamie Gold year.
It doesn't. I feel like Jamie Gold was a little earlier.
Jamie Gold was like 2006.
Yeah, he was much earlier than that.
A lot earlier than that.
Well, 19 was just 2 days. That was just 2 years ago.
That was the year they did the big 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Man, you got the boss man good on that one.
I did. I was like, wait.
I was like, that's Jamie Gold. No. We've surpassed that. I forgot.
You just blanked out like 15 years. You just lost 15 years there.
Blacked out for a minute.
That's why when I said like, how long have they been broadcasting? And I said 10 or 15. And he was like, no, not that long. I'm thinking, I think it might be that long.
Boss man just lost a decade and a half. Yeah.
That's because the boss man's trying to be younger than he truly is. It's just not. He's trying. He's trying his hardest. So at any rate, in 2019, they awarded more than $293 million just in 2019. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. I got like 6,000 of that.
I'm certain that you did. I don't know how much I got, but we could go back and check. but I just think that it's interesting, right? That now there's a dynamic. So we went from WSOP not being televised all post-production to live WSOP, which people really loved. Like, it was so great. Yeah. And now, like, what is that hype going to look like when everybody already knows the outcome? It's sort of like being like, oh, play the Super Bowl. You place your bets.
But now let's watch it.
And now we're going to watch it. Like, is there really going to be any drive? And if so, what drives it? Like, are you going to watch?
You know, it is really weird because in all the poker production, you know, the WPT and everybody would make these elaborate, amazing post-production shows that were limited to a few hours. And they took several hours of content, broke it down into the most interesting hands. And that was it, right? So you got the commentary of all the cool spots or what you assumed to be were the cool spots and the big hands and the good hands. Then they started doing it live, and people started seeing it live streams and live poker, and they're going, hey, this is pretty cool seeing it live, but now we just need a little more commentary because sometimes live poker is actually kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned into we would rather see every hand than – only the hands and not really know what we missed or what happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is now, you know, we had to deal with people going into the tank and taking 10 minutes to play a hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that on live television where you can just edit it out post-production. So then we came up with, you know, time clocks in certain areas. So all we've, you know, overcome these different little obstacles as an industry and to try to make it more and more and more interesting at every stage. And now going back to this post-production of a heads-up match, I'm just not sure how well it's – I mean, Kerstetter and Jamie Kerstetter and Lon McCarron will do a great job. I know that.
Absolutely.
They will do a great job. But I think it's going to be more on them than the poker playing to keep the audience.
I agree with that. And the other thing is, you know, looking at it from a perspective of the way that we kind of view and watch poker today versus pre-pandemic, I think, is so much of what we watch in content now is more based on trying to pull education out as opposed to entertainment. And I think that might be what their biggest piece is right? Is they're investing saying, listen, we're going to use this as an educational tool and completely drop the entertainment aspect. And maybe that's the way that the commentary will kind of flow. And, you know, obviously when they're airing the WSOP, they're not showing maybe they are this time. Generally, they don't show every single hand every minute. They cut it down. They have
they're
going to
cut it down,
TV,
I'm sure.
Because do we know how long the heads up battle went? I don't remember.
I do
but
not.
But there's been times where it's lasted like 8 hours, right? So like we're
20 miles.
Yeah, they're not exactly. They're not.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Ridiculous.
There were people literally asleep.
And that was
on
live.
Floor,
that was live.
Asleep on the floor at the Rio, like just bags scattered everywhere. Sure. People were so tired.
Everybody's kicked out of their hotel rooms. Media people are just passed out everywhere waiting for, because it could end in one hand.
Yeah. It was.
And it just took.
And it took forever.
10 hours.
Everybody on Tony's rail was just wasted.
Oh, gosh.
Wasted. And then fortunately, towards the end, they got so wasted that they were, you know, mostly passed out.
Right. They were the ones sleeping on
my favorite part is how like everybody was super wasted and they all had shirts on that said one day at a time.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, the little things you notice.
That was anyway. That was the longest heads up match in WSOP history.
Yeah.
It was either it like was. 10 or 14 hours, something
it
like that.
It was so long. But my point is like they cut that down because to air that amount would just be so astronomically expensive for airtime with ESPN. It's just not worth what they could make. So I feel like, you know, it was the case before that they probably extrapolated hands that showed lots of big action. And while they might do some of that now, they're probably pulling out hands that are more interesting and entertaining for educational purposes.
Yeah.
So I think that the post-production might look very different on Sunday than what you're used to seeing in the past for WSOP.
Well, I'm curious.
To know as well. So at any rate, again, that is this Sunday on ESPN. You can watch the 2020 World Series of Poker. Remember, it is just a heads-up battle playout. Yes, we know who won already, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't watch it. I'm looking forward to checking that out. We'll probably chat with Eddie about it next week as well.
I like it.
All right, and again, I found this super interesting article, 2019, not the winner of Jamie Gold, but it was written in 2019. It says what your poker strategy should look like in 2021. And
this
it's
a great
pretty
article.
Interesting. It's really wonderful. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great in Country. All right, so I found this crazy article today as I'm looking around. The boss man put his shades on, which means it's getting serious in here.
Serious now.
And the article is titled What Your Poker Strategy Should Look Like in 2021. And it was written in 2019. Now, if you remember just a minute ago when we were talking about the World Series of Poker, they had a monumental year in 2019 with record-breaking numbers. Over 187,000 players in the main event, represented by 118 different countries and over 293 million in the prize pool. So wow. This was a big year in WSOP, World Series of Poker history, a great year in poker. Poker was thriving, and then smash, here comes the pandemic. So it's interesting to see this article, the way it was written, and talking about how your game should have progressed to today. So we are now in 2021, and reflecting back on what this looks like, I found it to be fascinating. So there are two theories of thought when you're playing poker, right? And those two theories are either playing GTO, game theory optimal, meaning that you just effectively play like a computer. I mean, the quickest way I can make that assessment real quick is like you play like a computer. You make very few errors. You play strictly on the mathematical basis, and that is it. And then the second option is to exploitive strategy, which means that you're exploiting your opponent's strategy and to take advantage of that. So regardless of whether or not it's in the best interest of you financially to check bet or raise, you're just going to exploit their weakness. And so those are the two theories. And then for years, people have been talking about like, which one of these is going to be like, which one of these takes over? How should we play? Which one do we follow?
You know, what's really interesting about this is now I remember in 2019, this was a huge topic.
Absolutely.
As to who is better.
Sure.
You know, the old school, more expletive players, the play by feel and tells and everything like that at the poker table, or the new school of players who study in the lab and play perfect GTO, game theory optimal.
So I will say I saw an interesting, so if you don't know what game theory optimal is.
Which in itself is now exploitable.
Exactly, which is kind of interesting. So if you're not familiar with game theory optimal, it's The easiest way to illustrate it, as they point out, is looking at rock, paper, scissors. So a GTO rock, paper, scissors strategy is randomly choosing one of three options, right? You have rock, you have paper, you have scissors. Okay. If you choose one of those 1/3 of the time exactly the same, then your strategy is perfect. You will win 1/3 of the time.
Right.
As long as it's exactly the same and you play each one 1/3 the same.
Sure.
Right? That would be GTO. You're going to win 1/3% of the time. Now, here's the thing. If somebody knows,
they know that that's what you're doing.
They know that that's what you're doing. Now they can exploit you. So let's just say that that's what you're doing. You're going rock, paper, scissors 30% of the time. And I say, okay, well, I'm just going to shoot paper every time. If I shoot paper every single time, I am now going to win 40% of the time based on the fact that you are changing it up. So if you don't adjust to that, now you are in the negative.
Right. I think you have to do it like 40% of the time. Otherwise, you get skewed in there to break even also. But
as a rough, as to understand the theory and the way that that works, that's, I feel like, a pretty simplistic example.
Right. You can exploit it by increasing one of yours to a higher percentage.
Correct. Okay, so let's talk about that. So GTO, so we're playing Game Theory Optimal. So people are running bots, right? Like that's what they're doing. They're running programs on computers. We talked about Cerberus, I believe, is one of the bots' names that came out where they try to get a computer or a robot to play against some of the greatest poker players in the world to figure out the algorithms. And the problem is it's entirely too complex, right? Like a computer can't figure it out because there are entirely too many unknown variables, right? So you can never play perfect, quote unquote, GTO because there's
right,
no perfect.
Right, because it's impossible. It's impossible to figure out.
But you can get as close as possible by always making the same decision with the same thing every time and never varying off of that. And but if you do that, that would give you effectively a GTO.
Yes, and it is important to note that, you know, a game theory optimal computer that creates these stats and this perfect play at this time, and, you know, in this time, every time you are faced with a C bet from an early position raiser and you have called with a queen, king of hearts, and there's nothing on the board, every time you're faced with that, you should do X. But it's not, X isn't going to be you always fold.
Mm-hmm.
Right, X might be
you
fold.
Sometimes you fold
40% of the time,
mm-hmm. sure,
and call 60% of the time. So you have to factor that in, which obviously makes it pretty difficult to do, more difficult to do in a cash live setting than online.
Right. So there was a lot of topic that in 2019, because everybody's running these simulations and working on their game theory, that's the best way to beat the poker game. And if you're not spending hours in the lab, you're not going to win. And then there was the old school of thought, right, which is kind of like myself, which is I'm not going to spend all this time in a lab with game theory optimal. I'd rather just find your weaknesses and exploit them.
Right.
Where you're making a mistake, that's what I'm going to seek out and find. And when you make that mistake, that's what I'm going to capitalize on. And that's sort of more of the mentality of the way that I play. Not to say that I don't study poker, but I lean more towards the find the weakness and pounce.
Yes.
Versus just the steady, consistent, do this exactly the same like a robot.
And so do I. And part of the reason we play that way is because we have played most of our lives in a live setting rather than an online setting.
Mm-hmm.
Online setting, I think that the game theory optimal makes more sense online, where the expletive strategy makes more sense live.
I think part of it is like in a live setting, that GTO has that GTO, those theories and applications, they make more sense in an online realm where you're going to have much more volume.
Yeah.
You know, you could put in a year's worth of cash volume in a month online. So
right.
Like just dealing with those variance and stuff like that, you might never experience some of that in only a live setting where, you know, it happens online all the time. And so it's productive to like kind of mitigate that stuff with a GTO strategy online versus live.
And there's no tells in GTO.
Right. It's meant to kind of be as like a default. You know, if you can't find an exploit like you can in a live poker game, or if you
right, and that's a good point. If you have no, right. reason to go one way or the other based on your, you know, there's no exploitive nature. There's sure. nothing going on that says he should or shouldn't have it. He's not, you know, looking the other way. His neck's not throbbing. He's not trying to do any false tells.
I don't know what to do, but everything I've studied says in this spot, okay, I don't know right. what to do, so I should do this 50% of the time and do this the other half.
And that's a good point as to why you still do need to know, study the GTO.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that this was really interesting that was written, and I read this, and I thought, wow, I was like, what a great way to think about something. So for every expletive strategy you use can be beat by a different expletive strategy, right? So yeah. if you, it can start to feel like a guessing game. So that means like the downside of playing that type of poker is like, if I start to exploit your weakness, you can pick up on that and now exploit and re-exploit that back right. on me. And the problem is when you're playing that type of poker, if you don't know how to adjust in those realms, if I'm exploiting your weakness and I put myself in a super negative EV spot playing game theory optimal, right? Like now I'm putting myself in negative money based on the strategy that I feel like you're weak in. And so by doing that, if I don't realize that you're counterattacking, right. it becomes highly expensive and problematic for myself. So if you're playing that type of poker, you have to be able to be in a spot where you can adjust, where you say, okay, I feel like you have, you know, maybe your tendency in the big blind, you're super weak. Every time I raise, you fold. So I'm just going to raise with 100% of my range. Like, that's just right. what I'm going to do. If I know the guy on my right, like let's say I'm in the small blind, you're in the big blind, and the guy in the button is just like a loose, crazy person and he likes to just open but will always fold to a three bet, I'm going to three bet in the small blind with 100% of my range because I know you're folding like 99% of the time.
Right.
I know he's folding the other 99% of the time. So even though I'm three betting with seven deuce at a position, right, like that's what I'm doing, but it's going to be profitable against you two players until one of you pick that up and then re-exploit me, and all right. of a sudden that counterattack becomes very problematic, right? So you have to be able to identify that.
And that's why we say, to put it in basic terms, when you're teaching people how to play poker and what to do, is you have to be able to change gears.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And you have to be able to vary your play and go back and forth.
Yeah, we say that a lot on the live stream.
Yeah, you just have to be able to, you know, you have to be able to three-bet light sometimes.
Some games you just can't do it, you know?
Right, like, some games you don't have opportunity.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it depends on the way the game's
that's
playing.
Right, certain games if you three bet light you'll get punished,
right?
In other games if you don't three bet light
you get punished. Sometimes you're the roach, sometimes you're the boot.
That's right.
So the other thing to also consider is this: where do you think you make the most money, playing GTO or playing exploitive poker?
Definitely exploitative poker.
Absolutely.
I think exploitative poker, yeah, except online. I think due to the fact that there are really limited amount of tells online other than betting patterns and betting habits, I actually think a GTO strategy might be better online. And because I think some of your exploitive natures are going to be a less percentage of being accurate online than live. And I could be wrong because there are some, you know, betting patterns.
I think it's more about think about it in shortened terms, whether you're online or live, it's the margin, right? So if you're playing GTO, your margin is drastically smaller. Because if you're trying to play perfect poker, the number of errors you make is going to be significantly reduced. If you're playing exploitive, then the margin of error is vastly bigger because when I'm trying to exploit you, I'm effectively making a mistake in my own play. Right. It's not like I'm saying, oh, I have aces, I'm exploiting your weakness. I'm like, oh, right. I have seven deuce in the small blind.
You're making a non-GTO play. Right.
Exactly. So what ends up happening is when the margin shrinks when you're playing GTO and when you're playing exploitive, it gets bigger. So you're going to make more money or lose more money, whichever the case may be, if you're playing exploitive poker versus if you're playing GTO, because sure. that margin is more controlled and smaller. So I thought that this article was really interesting. And today, like, really, both of those things are so prevalent because we are playing such a combination of both styles of poker. It's live and it's online.
Right.
So you have to be able to use both, not in one setting, but in both settings, and know where to adjust, when to implement GTO and when to look for spots where you can exploit your opponent's weakness. So I just saw it was a really cool article that came up a couple of years after it was written, and that was our talk.
Yeah,
thanks for joining us.
It's a great it's a really good article, and it's an easy read and a quick read, and it's really interesting that it was written in 2019 mm-hmm. when we remember all this talk of which is better and which is worse. And the truth is that the end of the article is what is better now, and probably what was better then is a balanced strategy of GTO and exploitive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like Dustin said, you have to use the GTO when you have nothing else to go off of.
Right.
If you have no other reason to, or no other belief or anything out there telling you to call or raise or fold, then you have to go back to what you studied in the GTO.
And that would be like if you sit down in a game and you don't know any of the opponents, right? This is a time when we're talking about that.
Right.
Like you don't know anybody. Sure. You're sitting down in the game is brand new, and you should almost effectively treat every game that way, regardless if you know the person or not, because they could be playing different today as they were the last time you played with them. So you need to treat every game new, and when you see one person do something, don't make a rash decision, right? One time does not develop a pattern.
Right.
So it's something needs to happen multiple times before you shift and adjust your game to satisfy whatever else is happening with your opponents.
Also, just one more quick poker tip. If you want to make more money at the poker table, pay attention to the game so you don't have to always default to, well, I can't figure anything out, so I just got to go back to this GTO thing. Pay attention, put your phone down, don't watch TV, and you might find other things that you wouldn't normally see to exploit and make more money than if you just don't pay attention and revert back to whatever the quote book says.
Absolutely. All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk all things promotions and put a wrap on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great and Country, putting a wrap on the show. All right, lots of things are happening in both Best Bet Poker Rooms, but as promised, as you all know, we have lots of new merchandise in, and we want to give something to you guys. So your choice of a hat, a jacket, a t-shirt, anything you like, you can pick it up at Best Bet Jacksonville or Best Bet Orange Park. 641-1010 is the phone number. 641-1010. We will take the fourth caller right now. Okay, as we are figuring out who's going to win that, lots of high hands going on. You guys are giving out tremendous amounts of cash February and into March. Tomorrow, if you're over in Jacksonville, $500 every 30 minutes throughout the entire course of the day, $300 every hour on Friday, and then $1,000 high hands every hour on Saturday between Jacksonville and Orange Park from 2 p.m. till midnight. So tons and tons of cash in the next couple days going out the door in high hand promotions at both locations, whether you're in Jacksonville or Orange Park. Bossman, I know that we had a tremendous amount of success with the poker tournament that just happened here with the Winter Open. So we are now doing a repeat series in the spring, which is happening March 18th through the 28th, I do believe.
That is correct. And on a side note, as I was reading that article in Upswing, I just took the test that Phil Hellmuth to decide what my poker animal is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lion.
That's You're right. A donkey.
I figured I'd be a donkey. Uh-huh. But no, I'm a lion. Yeah, that's correct. March 18th through 28th is the spring series. It's going to be an awesome tournament. We can't wait. It's going to start with a 560 opening event. Work your way through. There's some, we got a ladies event. We have a PLO event. We got another horse event coming back. The main event this time will be $2,500 buy-in, same structure as the 2K buy-in that we did last time. It's a two-day tournament. It's going to be great.
And just so you know, if you guys are looking to pad your wallets before that tournament, as most people are, we're looking to build up that bankroll, play some cash so we can prepare to play some of those tournaments. There are multiple times where you guys are giving out $1,200 or $1,000 every hour, all day. Between now and the start of that tournament, you can find all of that at bestbetjacks.com. You'll get all your information about the tournaments, all your information about daily high hand giveaways. But yeah, make sure you guys mark your wallets down.
Mark your wallets.
I feel like that's it. Mark your calendar, pad your wallet. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. But don't go anywhere. End of the night with Rick Ballew is coming up next. For Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country, I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.